Heritage Oaks in the last couple years has undergone an incredible renovation and bringing a lot of new things to the property. And first off, Greg Barron, Director of Golf, welcome to sort of a special edition here of the Zeman Spears podcast system.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. I look forward to talking to you gentlemen about what the last 12 months have entailed with us reopening last August with our renovation for the public to see.
Well, I tell you, you had a course here for 90 years. Obviously, changes were going to be made, and I think you've done some great things. It looks a whole lot different. I remember the old days. I grew up in this area. I knew what the old days were like here, and this is really getting to be top-notch.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's been a long-term project. We started planning about 5 years ago, and over the almost 12 months that we've been reopened now, we've had a lot of very strong reviews and comments from both our residents here in Northbrook as well as the extending area in Chicago that has brought new visitors to our site.
Well, Greg, I know from talking to people at other properties how a renovation process can be. How long it can be, just the need for planning permits, approvals from boards, and all sorts of things. Take us back to square one, first sitting down with the Northbrook Park District executives and the commissioners and trying to get an approval to say, hey, let's almost blow up what we have and start over again, and let's find the money to do it.
Yeah, it was one heck of a process. It began about 5 years ago when the board recognized that there was improvements needed here and other locations throughout the district, and we engaged Sirius Consulting to do an assessment of our overall operations and make recommendations on basically four different levels, from doing just a little, doing a semi-minor project to a significant project to a major project. I would say that out of that, the board took that information that was provided, and we had a retreat in which it was identified that the golf site is going to be part of the new Places to Play initiative, which included the renovations to our golf course here, as well as building a new activity center for the community located right by our sister course, the Enitzberger Golf Course. So that was really the kickstart to that. And then we engaged Greg Martin for an initial master plan that was very focused on the golf course itself. And, within the budget we had, that minimal things were going to be done to the clubhouse. After going through that process, the board hit the pause button and said, you know what, while we love the golf course and love the thought of making improvements, we want to make more significant improvements to the clubhouse area. So, with that thought in mind, we re-engaged with Rick Jacobson, who had done our renovation in 2005 and 2006 to do the golf course portion. And then we hired Ratio Architects out of Indianapolis. They have a Chicago location that we work with their office to do the clubhouse, and Gwalt Hamilton to do all the civil engineering for the parking lot and the course itself, which is through that process got us to where we are today.
Well, Greg, it seems like the key to the whole project was making the decision to tear down the old clubhouse, move it to a new location on the property, which gave you the options to do some of the new things that you've actually done here at Heritage Oaks.
Yes, and the relocation of the clubhouse accomplished a number of things. One is the old clubhouse was more on the side of catering to just the classic 18 because it was directly north of the first tee for the 18 and the ninth green. One of the things we did in moving the site location is the new clubhouse is directly behind the 18th green, which puts it right in between the two first tees. Now staff in the golf shop has direct line of sight access to see what's going on out there. People coming up the 18th hole have this beautiful clubhouse that they can see, as well as people when they go out on our Acorn Grill Terrace after a round of golf or just for socializing, they can stare out and watch play come into the golf course, which was an advantage point we had before. When we moved the clubhouse also, we raised it 5 feet to give it a sense of presence to elevate the views, so you're not looking up to see those activities, which has made what I would consider the million-dollar view that we accomplished in this process.
Well, Len Zeem, you played here for years under the old name, Sports Sportsman's Golf and Country Club. And when you step foot on the property, what's the first thing that jumps out to you in all of the new things that are here as part of Heritage Oaks?
Oh, it's a new drive-in. But you know what? The first thing that comes to my mind here is where and when did the name change? How did that fit into the planning stages? Was that at the end of it, or did you rename the club right off the bat? Or?
No, that decision wasn't actually made until, 9 months before we reopened. During that serious golf assessment, that was one of the things they brought to our attention is, with the name Sportsman's is not exactly inclusive in nature. And then the other part is Country Club, Sportsman's Country Club. Well, guess what? We weren't a private club, so that didn't fit. Can't tell you in my 20-plus years working here how many times I mention where I work, and they're like, is that private? I've never heard of it before. People didn't, on the public golf side of things, didn't know to look further into it when they saw the name. And as a result, we didn't really appeal to a lot of the marketplace, and that was one of the things we wanted to accomplish. So we... during the renovation project, we engaged A5 Consulting to take a look at the potential of renaming the facility. We had a project team, which included the full-time golf staff, as well as our marketing and communications team and two board members that we engaged through the process and looked at a lot of different name combinations after it was determined that it is the right decision to pursue a name change. Coming out of that, the project team narrowed it down to two possibilities. One, on our old clubhouse, we had a butterfly garden. Butterfly Landing was a name, which thankfully that didn't materialize. No offense to those on the project team, but when it became rather evident, Heritage Oaks was the right one out of all the naming conventions we looked at, which was about 80 from crossings between animals and land and people and all that. Heritage Oaks became the clear-cut favorite of the project team, especially when we have three very big Heritage Oak trees here and 20 throughout the entire community on our properties. So that group brought that recommendation to the board, and the board ended up approving that in the early spring, late winter of 2020, which then began the cycle of us changing everything up.
Yeah. Well, Greg, sometimes when you attach the name Country Club to your property, people want to know where the tennis courts or the swimming pool are. And you didn't have any of those things here, and you didn't plan on putting them back in after the renovation, correct?
Yeah, that is correct. And we also didn't have a gun club here either, with the Sportsman's part, which, there is one, I think, in the northern part of the state, as well as out in Pennsylvania, that we used to get confused with. Now that is a thing of the past.
Well, Greg, it seems like one of the first things that you were able to take advantage of by the relocation of the clubhouse was extending your first hole, the par 5, that a lot of people thought was a little short for a par 5. Now it's got some teeth to it. But take us through the golf course a little bit and what Rick Jacobson actually focused on during the renovation project.
Yeah, one of the first things that you will notice from a design change is the change of the first tee complex. We adopted a 5-tee structure now. During the evaluation process, we recognized that we were the longest set of forward tees in public golf in our North Shore region, making us the most difficult to play from the forward tees out of anywhere. The equivalent length for that was about 72 to 7,300 yards for the women. So, they didn't need to play, beyond tournament golf length. So adding the new forward tees gave us an additional option. And then the other major thing we did on the Classic 18 is rebuilt from the ground up all of our greens. That was one of the weak points going into the renovation that we knew we had to address. We now have a 10-inch sand-based green. Before, we had maybe 2.5 inches of sand, so they're closer to a USGA spec. So that'll be another big thing that people notice right off the bat is the playability and the changing character of the greens, which are really coming into their own now that they're about 2 years old. Moving forward into some additional things, a lot of it customers won't notice, but there was a significant amount of land moved. We raised 6 fairways to increase the drainage and open us up sooner after major rain events. And so there was also some irrigation work done on the Legacy 9. And then every bit of bent grass was completely replaced with one of the new hybrid bents called 007, which has a much better playing profile. It greens up quicker in the spring and stays green longer in the fall and repairs itself quicker. So as they continue to mature in and we nurture them, they're going to be spectacular. And we're starting to see a lot of evidence of that now that we're at our desired mowing heights for playability.
This is interesting. It strikes me, we've heard for years how golf is changing, the equipment is different and everything, and courses have to be longer to keep up with it. This is the first time I've heard, and I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the course had to be shorter.
Yeah.
How much shorter is it? I mean, what was the old front tee?
You know, the old front tee, I don't have that off the top of my head, but it was somewhere close to what? Yeah, about 5,000 yards. And now I think it's around 4,700.
300.
Yeah, so 300 yards difference. Yeah, so we prioritize that over actually adding length. That was how important it was to us. And one of the things we did, and John will talk later in his interview, is we put a big focus on how do you select your correct tees. And we developed a whole new program for us that mimics a lot of what was done by the Golf Course Architect Association and doing their long leaf program. We actually met with the original concept designer of that program and mimicked a lot of that to help with getting people on the right tees, shortening our golf course and making it more playable and enjoyable, which will hopefully add to, you know, a lot more repeat play.
Well, Greg, you know, we touched on the fact that you've got a new clubhouse here and there's been some golf course changes. But I know that, you know, everybody's got a budget on a project like that. And these days it's costing more and more to work through a renovation project. While everything you did has turned out really nice, I got a feeling that there's probably down the road here as the funds come together, maybe a phase two. And a lot of architects like to come back and tinker with things after they see how the course is playing after renovation. And I'm sure whether it's cart paths, bunkers, or trees, there's probably some things yet that you and Rick Jacobson and the Park District would like to work through as time goes forward over the next couple of years.
Yeah, there is. We have some unfinished business, and we recognize that. You know, we live within our budget and did this project without having to go out to referendum and increasing taxes, which I think the community, when they understand that aspect of why we didn't get everything that we had on our to-do list done, I think they understand that. So looking forward, you know, some of the major things that will need to be addressed at some point, our bunkers are now approaching 20 years old. The lifespan on those is about 12, so we're doing the best we can with the existing ones. We have a lot of cart path that is in need of being addressed that's currently out there, and having our architect look at the placement and location of those and any other places that may need improvement will probably be something we'll be doing here in the not too distant future, at least starting to plan on when that will take place. With regards to, you know, like tee box sizes and that, we'll probably have an additional assessment, because the only tees we truly addressed from a physical standpoint was the addition of the new ones. Some of the old ones and their current location will be looked at too. So we'll start to develop a master plan with an architect going forward. Yeah, we'd love to work with Rick again. If he's, I know his plate's pretty full as he's, I think, looking to maybe scale things down. So look forward to figuring out how that process goes here in the next few months.
Well, I know that one of the other things that you just did here was the practice facility. Is always very key these days, especially when you have outings or you have the golf teams out. You know, it's nice to have a putting green that can accommodate everyone. You made some changes on the range, and I know John Billiter will speak more to that in part two of this, but you did improve the range. You did improve the practice facilities.
That we did. It was another major focus of ours is in the marketplace, one of our desired things to do was take what had already been recognized as the top range in the North Shore Public Golf Arena and make it even better. And I think we hit it out of the park with that, with being recognized by Chicago Golf Report as the number one public range in the Chicago region just a few months ago. I think we can maybe say that was mission accomplished. And I'll let John talk a little bit about some of those improvements. But going to like the short game areas off the back of the clubhouse before you start your round, we used to have a very small 3,000 square foot putting green that was our main putting green. that come the end of September, with the amount of foot traffic, with all the high school events that we had, and we also host Oakton Community College and our own league play, it just couldn't last with that amount of foot traffic. So in rebuilding a new one, we put out a 10,000 square foot putting green, which is almost triple the size, or more than triple the size of the old one, and then also added a dedicated short game area with a bunker and fairway chipping area, and it's been great.
Greg, it's got to be a great recognition for the club, and of course, in less than a year after you've reopened from this renovation, to see the USGA come in here and let you host qualifiers and let you host two of them on the same day, and it's not just a local where somebody advances to yet another one before they advance to the Big Dance Championship. They let players come in here, both men and women, test out the golf course and earn spots in the field in the USGA Senior Men's Amateur and also the U.S. Senior Women's Open.
Yeah, that was a tremendous honor that the CDGA recognized us as a well-suited spot to host such an event. You know, we had an internal goal of trying to get the course playability, especially the greens, to the speed that we wanted or in the neighborhood by Memorial Day, and in preparation for that qualifying day in July. And we hit those marks, and all the feedback we've got from the CDGA host director, as well as the players and informal commentary from them, was it was a great site for their event. I'm also excited to say, the golf course held up well too. We had one player on the men's senior amateur shoot under par, and then one on the ladies. So John and I, if we were to have set an over under, I would imagine we would probably settle on about maybe 4 or 5 on both sides. So to me, it's, the golf course really showed that it's not something you go out there and eat its lunch. It might eat yours.
Well, Len, I know that you have escaped to Florida during the winters, but if you were still up here, you might be looking for a place to hit some golf balls. And what did you think when you saw the simulator room here? Because I know the pro staff here loves to work year-round.
I've got to learn more about the simulators. I tell you, in Florida, you just are outside, and it's you don't look at those as much. At least I don't. But I'm looking forward to hearing about them. One thing I was interested in here, though, is your the composition of play that you have. I don't not necessarily numerically, but has it changed? Men and women, young and old. I mean, how has the composition of your customers changed since the new courses kicked in?
Yeah, so, we were obviously closed for renovation during COVID, which I think brought a lot of new faces to golf and or invigorated that occasional player to becoming a regular player. Prior to our closure, I would say we were probably in the neighborhood of like a male-female breakdown of 60-40, 40% women. We have a lot of ladies play here, and that continued after we reopened. The one thing I would add is we are seeing a lot, I'm talking a lot of new faces here. And whether that's a lot of out migration from the city to people that now live out this way and we're appealing to them, or they're making a special trip still from other places in the area, we are seeing a lot of Generation Zs here. So it's been actually quite the change for us. And, in our old clubhouse, we didn't have full service restaurant. We didn't have a grill room or a bar. That was some of the other changes we made to broaden our appeal. Now we have 12 different taps for beer options here and cocktails. And before, you didn't get anything out of a glass, you got it out of a cup. So, those folks that are those looking for that a little bit more upscale experience, we're now catering to that to an extent while still remaining affordable and enjoyable place for those here.
Are you open later in the evening?
Yes, we're typically open until 9 o'clock. On rain events, we may look at that a little bit differently, but generally speaking, the restaurant stays open until 9 o'clock. And, throughout the winter, we also do the same. We're open basically golf season hours now 12 months a year.
Well, Greg, I know that one of the most frequent questions that seems to be asked when people are thinking about grabbing a bite to eat or a beverage here before or after golf, they say, well, can we eat outside or is it just inside? Or the fact that you can offer indoor and outdoor drinking and dining seems to be a driving point for the brand new Acorn Grill.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those features is, you know, our commitment to having a terrace dining experience was, you know, a high priority in enhancing not just the food and beverage, but the overall capacity. Like in our peak season, we've got an extra 60 or so seats outside. The other thing we developed is what we call our Brook Room, which can host as the place where we do scoring for events or small parties from bridal showers to afterlife celebrations to other community-related events. Like last week, we had the pleasure of being the chosen spot for a private event to host the Stanley Cup, which was a lot of fun. So, you know, with regards to that, yeah, expanding all the capacity outside and the Brook Room, I didn't touch on the fact that we also made it to expand to the outdoors by putting in an accordion door that's, you know, about 50 or so feet in length that can open up and you have this indoor-outdoor experience for your private event.
Well, Len Zeem, as someone who collects golf shirts from all over the place, what did you think about the upgraded apparel line in the pro shop?
Yeah, I tell you, I was stunned. I mean, I've seen more golf, different kind of golf shirts, but I like yours a lot. I'm not short of golf shirts in my closet, I'll tell you that, but I'm going to have to get one of yours. They look good. They look good.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that was part of that rebranding process. And, you know, the acorn that's in the logo, you know, and when you see it in a bigger scale, you know, a lot of people see different things from, you know, the T on the top to I see like the silhouette of a player that may be playing out in Scotland.
I saw that one my first visit here. That was a long time ago, but right. When you're just ready to open. But they look good.
Greg, what has been the feedback that you and your staff have been getting as people come back? It seems like every week out here, there's customers that come in and they say, geez, I haven't been here since you were sportsmen's, or I haven't seen it like this. And sometimes they're asking your staff, what's different? What's new? And so I don't know how much of it filters all the way up to your office, but tell us what you and your professional staff have been hearing from the customers as they come back to a brand new Heritage Oaks.
Yeah, I tell you what, almost to a person, everyone that walks in for the first time through our vestibule into the restaurant area, it's almost everybody goes, wow. And I would say that kind of carries over through the whole renovation. It's, you know, a lot of people have been really happy with, you know, how the clubhouse turned out and how it's properly placed and the upgrade in amenities to be more reflective of the on-course enjoyment. So, you know, as we move forward, I think that some of the folks had a misconception of how much actual rebuild versus renovate place. We have two communities, one to our north, one to the south, that did a lot of moving of ground to reshape and do that. So some folks that were looking for more of that, but as they go out and experience the fact that, yes, the holes remained in the same corridors, but the overall playing conditions have improved. They've been very satisfied with how things have evolved after, you know, in the last 12 months.
Well, Greg, the other thing is that, you know, when you put together a nice new project like this, more often than not, the next question is, what's next? So, and I know there's some things you'd still like to work on here, but with the par 3 course craze out there, at some point down the road, do you think your shorter course, say Annitzberger, could see some work?
Yeah, that's something we're going to be evaluating is, all right, what are the next steps? It's now on its, I believe, 20th year or coming up on their 20th year that's been open since Rick reimagined it. You know, so there's some infrastructure that will need to be addressed. And when we go through that process, we'll be taking a look at the branding of that. And is the current layout suitable for the future? You know, we use it, it gets used a lot by our academy. We have a number of members there. That's where we do offer a season pass program to encourage new golfer development. And, you know, that will be something that will be part of what will hopefully be like a 10-year plan for us when we engage at some point with an architect to see, you know, what to do and how to do it and when to do it.
Well, finally, if people want to know more information about Heritage Oaks, can you tell them where to find you online, whether it's the website, social media, and how's the easier way to make a tee time here and come on out and see this renovated, beautiful golf course?
Yeah, super simple. Just go to heritageoaksgc.com, and that's the main place to gather all your information. And if you can't find what you're looking for there, please give us a call in the golf shop.
All right. Len Zeem, any final thoughts about the brand new Heritage Oaks Golf Club?
Well, everybody should first buy one of those shirts and then tee off. I think it's I'm sure a lot of players missed you for when the times you were closed and maybe didn't want to play it as much as in its last days as Sportsman's, but I'm sure a lot more will want to play it now. I think you're in for a good thing.
All right, heritageoaksgc.com, and come on out and enjoy the brand new Acorn Grill located in the brand new clubhouse. And that's this edition of Zeem and Spears with Heritage Oaks Golf Club.